You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All of you Foxborough faithful, you are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2021, and the theme of today's pod is Times They Are A-Changin' here on your daily home for news, notes, and analysis, infused with the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Greetings and salutations, Patriots Nation. Thank you so much for joining me here on this Tuesday episode of the pod. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which, of course, is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And, folks, you know that your team every day means that your questions, your comments, your feedback are always welcomed and very much appreciated. Share that feedback and send it to the internet by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATEFPC. And, of course, while you're doing some Tuesday traveling through the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at @LO_Patriots. Pats fans, I guess you could call today day three of McDaniels' watch. Will longtime offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels trade in some New England clam chowder for a Philly cheesesteak? Again, as of the time we're recording this podcast, no decision has been made. But if you're out there consulting that Belichickian magic eight ball, all signs point to yes. A lot of the Philadelphia beat writers are assuming that Josh is going to be the guy. And even though Philly is currently interviewing a few more candidates, it's looking more and more likely that this may be an offer that Josh McDaniels can't refuse. And I'll be honest, I'm seeing mixed reactions from Patriots Nation on Josh's potential departure. A lot of you are looking at it as an opportunity for the Patriots offense to evolve, move on a bit. Josh McDaniels' play calling got a little stale over the past few years. He doesn't have Tom Brady backing him up anymore. Yeah, I've heard them all, folks. There are also some of you that are a little bit concerned. Can the Patriots reinvent themselves? Is this metamorphosis going to mean a longer rebuild? Pats fans, these are all valid questions, and over the course of the next few days here on Locked On Patriots, myself and my esteemed guests here on Locked On Patriots will do our best to answer those for you. And it's Tuesday here on the pod, and even though times are a-changin', we remain constant when we say that Tuesdays are for reasonable wisdom and counsel. And who better to deliver that reasonable wisdom and counsel than our resident voice of reason? Steve Balestrieri of PatsFans.com joins me here today for his weekly appearance on Locked On Patriots. And Steve and I will begin our discussion today by talking Josh McDaniels. What's Steve's reaction to Josh's potential departure? And what does this mean for the future of the Patriots' offensive strategy? Well, to be honest, a lot of that depends on who the Patriots would bring in or who they would promote to replace Josh McDaniels. Steve and I will discuss a couple of those names today. Also, it is the off-season already here in New England, and because of that, we're going to turn our attention to one of the biggest off-season stories for any NFL team, the 2021 NFL Draft. Yesterday, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network announced that the NFL had indeed issued a memo that indicated significant changes for this year's upcoming NFL Draft Scouting Combine. How will that impact the Patriots? And another aspect of the draft that not a lot of people are talking about, and that is how the Patriots will adapt to the loss of Nick Caserio, who was one of the key members of the Patriots draft personnel. After all, if anything involved the NFL Draft, Nick Caserio was a part of it in New England, and those will be some big shoes to fill. And in these changing times of 2021, the Patriots may have to adjust to both losses in the front office and down on the field in the coaching staff. I always say it takes a reasonable mind to navigate us through change, and luckily for us here on Locked On Patriots, today Steve Balestrieri will help us do just that. So sit tight, settle in, and my good buddy and Patriots paisan will join us here on the hot seat in just a moment. But first, folks, the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters are assembling today to decide the fate of this year's finalists, and the New England Patriots definitely have a vested interest in this year's class. One of those finalists just happens to be the 2020 inductee into the New England Patriots Hall of Fame, and that is defensive tackle Richard Seymour. This is the third straight year that Seymour has been a finalist, and while it remains to be seen if he makes the cut this time, he does have a tremendous amount of support from a lot of his former teammates, many of his former opponents. And in my humble opinion, this guy definitely deserves a gold jacket. There is an old saying that says it's nice to have friends in high places, and when it comes to Richard Seymour and the support that he's getting for the Hall of Fame, You can't get any higher than former Patriots quarterback and current Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady. Tom took to social media today to say, quote, "I would love to see Richard Seymour inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. Not only was he a dominant player, but a team-first, selfless player who played championship football each and every week. He was a cornerstone of the Patriots dynasty and deserves to be recognized for his contributions to football history." And to no one's surprise, Richard Seymour was definitely appreciative of Tom's support, replying that playing against Brady, both on the practice fields and on the NFL game fields, made him a better player. And he also indicated that the two of them would have had one more Super Bowl ring together if it wasn't for that fateful helmet catch made by a player we won't mention, against a team we won't mention, in a Super Bowl we won't mention. But the one thing we will mention is that Seymour was indeed held on that play, and who knows, if he could have broken free and tackled a quarterback we won't mention, could have been a much different season in 2007 for your New England Patriots. But that was then, this is now. Hopefully, Richard Seymour will finally get his call to the Hall. I certainly hope it's this year. Again, in my humble opinion, few, if any, on the ballot deserve it more. But here in New England, we're on to 2021, and it's time to leave the past in the rearview mirror and take a look into those changing times I alluded to earlier. Steve Balestrieri of PatsFans.com joins me here on the hot seat when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, Locked On listeners, conference championship weekend in the 2020 NFL playoffs has been set. The Green Bay Packers take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC. In the AFC, the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs host the Buffalo Bills. If you're confident in your prognostication skills, there is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Whether you're an AFC aficionado or an NFC aficionado, betonline.ag has you covered with the latest lines, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Also, be sure to visit our good friends and exclusive partner on social media at betonline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Locked On listeners, 2020 is mercifully over. It is time for a fresh start and for a few more wins. And if you're betting this year and want those wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Pats fans, here today on the pod, we get our weekly dose of reason and accountability. And to further help me break down the Patriots' outlook into 2021 and some of the immediate future going on in Foxborough right now is my Patriots Paisan. He's an amazing columnist for PatsFans.com. And as I always say, each and every week, never gets less true, folks. He's just one of the best guys in this or any business. My good friend Steve Balestrieri joins me today. Welcome back to Locked On Patriots, my friend, for now your weekly spot here on a Tuesday.
Hey, Mike, thanks for inviting me on, as always. And you know, as everyone else does who listens regularly, love talking football with you, especially when we're talking about the Patriots.
Absolutely. And, you know, it might be a time for looking back, looking ahead, or even looking at hypotheticals up here in New England. You know, there's just a part of it that just doesn't seem natural. I mean, usually the Patriots are preparing for a game at this time of year, not preparing to ascend to the next level or look for, the next season. But, there are some things that, need to be addressed. And one of them is actually some immediate news that the Patriots are making. And Murph joined me here yesterday on the pod, and we started to take an early look at the Philadelphia Eagles' pursuit of Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels as potentially their new head coach. And again, folks, at the time we're recording this podcast, no decisions have been made. By the time you're listening to this podcast, they might have been, so bear with us. But at this point, Steve, we've been here before. In fact, there was a time last year where a lot of Patriots fans and media alike thought that Josh was headed to Cleveland. They pretty much thought that was a done deal. Josh had interviewed for a good long time in Cleveland. Everything seemed to be clicking. It was his hometown. It just seemed like a hand-in-glove fit, and they ended up going with Kevin Stefanski. But these rumors seem to be maybe a little bit different. Josh is gaining steam as the front runner for this job. And as I said to Murph yesterday, Bud, this might be an offer Josh can't refuse. Two questions here, Bud. First, are you surprised that Josh McDaniels is being pursued by Philadelphia in this way? And what's your prediction on where he ends up in 2021?
Well, just, I mean, and this is just me talking. I have no information to back this up. It's just my feeling that he is going to get hired by Philadelphia. You know, we heard last night that his interview lasted till 9 p.m. last night, and you know, he spoke for a long time with the owner and general manager. And it's interesting that McDaniels and Howie Roseman didn't actually like each other a couple of years back. But I think that those two would be able to work together, you know, pretty well. And, you know, with the ownership of Philadelphia being, I guess, tied to Carson Wentz for one reason or another. You know, we know he has a tremendous cap hit for them. And they've, you know, that was part of the reason Doug Peterson was shown the door, that, you know, he didn't want to stick with Wentz. I think, you know, the leadership of Philadelphia, you know, I think they know that if Wentz is going to work, they need an offensive guy to come in that can work with him, and I think Josh McDaniels would be just the right guy for that.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, my gut reaction, and again, folks, much like Steve, I'm not basing this on any inside information. The Patriots are being very, very tight-lipped when it comes to this, at least in terms of the circles that I run with. So right now, these are speculative thoughts on our behalf, but I believe that this is going to be an offer that Josh can't refuse. If he is presented with this, I don't see him turning it down. And quite honestly, I don't know if I see the Eagles going in any other direction. I know that they're still bringing in, you know, candidates to interview. From what I'm hearing, Joe Brady is still on their radar. There was talk that Eric Bieniemy might be brought in for an interview, but there's a lot of people that believe that he would not be a fit in Philadelphia. I know Todd Bowles interviewed on Monday, and a lot of people think that right now Josh is just the most experienced and the best of the candidates that are available. And you mentioned Philadelphia ownership, and you mentioned Jeffrey Lurie, and how at times he's been quote-unquote enamored with that Patriots offense. You know, there have been some that have been that have reported that Jeff Mosher, who is, you know, veteran Eagle reporter, has said that he has heard that Eagles ownership has been enamored with the New England offense for a long time. They talk about it. It's been an elite offense and really might be one of the best fits in terms of a coordinator that can come in and get the most out of Carson Wentz if, in fact, they want to continue to build around him. And it looks like that might be the direction Philly's going in. I mean, they parted ways with Doug Peterson's friend. Most people think that Carson Wentz was a big part of that. So in this regard, Steve, you know, there are still a lot of talk about Josh and how he will fit in with Philadelphia. Could he coexist with Carson Wentz? But ultimately, buddy, this show is Locked On Patriots. And from a Patriots perspective, you know, Josh's experience in the system is going to be missed if he's not here in 2021. I know a lot of the fan base is kind of wringing their hands right now and rubbing them together, I should say, and saying, oh, well, this is good. They're going to get new blood into the offensive, you know, game planning. And a lot of Patriots fans had some problems with Josh's play calling this past season. Some have even been pointing it out for a while now. Even I've been critical, and I like Josh as the coordinator of this team. I really would think that it's a loss for them to lose him. But offensive play calling isn't an easy job, especially under Bill Belichick. And Steve, what might the offense look like with Josh gone? Do you think that the Patriots could be in for another metamorphosis when it comes to offensive strategy of this team? And if not, is Bill Belichick more likely to try to retain an in-house candidate or maybe even bring one in from the outside that could either mimic or maybe build off of what Josh does? Is this a chance for the Patriots to go in a different direction now if Josh leaves, or if he's here, or if not, what would they do to try to maintain some of that continuity?
Yeah, you know, like yourself, I've been critical of his play calling in the past, but, you know, a lot of people were very upset with his play calling this year. And, you know, let's be fair. You look at what the Patriots had at skill positions this year, and, you know, Josh was trying to make chicken salad out of, well, you know.
You know?
So, I don't really have any issue with his play calling this past year. I think he did the best of what he could with, you know, the weapons they had at their disposal. But moving forward, if he does leave, you know, the guy that would have been the number one candidate, Jed Fish, he's gone now too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he took the position at Arizona as their new head coach. So now you're looking at a bunch of guys who've never really been coordinators. Ivan Fears, obviously, is by far the most experienced guy. He's going to start his, what, 45th year in the NFL as a coach?
Yeah.
But he's never been a coordinator. So, you know, what I'd be looking at is Bill would hire outside the organization here. I think he's going to go outside. And I know Patriots fans don't want to hear this, but Adam Gase would be the number one guy, I would think. Excuse me. You know, be the number one guy that Bill would be looking at to replace Josh. And for two reasons. One, Bill has always been almost effusive in his praise about Adam Gase's play calling. And two, it would be a much easier transition from McDaniels to Adam Gase because they use the same language, that Earhart Perkins system terminology. So you're not dealing with a major, major change, you know, in how they would do business. And I think that is especially what, you know, they're going to be trying to bring in a lot of young guys, especially at wide receiver. I think that would make a big difference in the offense.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, that collective groan that you're hearing all throughout the airwaves right now, folks, is the collective groan of Patriots Nation when Steve mentioned the name Adam Gase. Look, bottom line, I think you make some good points about him, though. And look, there is a similarity between the way Josh McDaniels and Adam Gase coordinate an offense. The language they use, the type of strategy that they use, it is similar, folks. So if you're looking for a type of coordinator to come in and be able to kind of keep the ship in the right direction and maybe build upon what Josh did, add in a few more things here and there, or, you know, if you're a pessimist, you know, maybe a couple of things lost here and there, but really maintaining that type of continuity, Adam Gase may be your best option in order to come in and play on this, coach players on this team on offense and be the coordinator. Over the weekend, I put out a thread about Anthony Lynn and being out of, you know, obviously no longer the head man in Los Angeles, and his experience in the AFC East, both with the Jets and then, of course, with the Buffalo Bills, primarily a running backs coach, and that's where he started. That's, you know, the position he played when he played the game, but he did preside over a few top 10 passing offenses in Los Angeles during his tenure there. And I know he had Phillip Rivers in order to do that. And this year he had Justin Herbert, who really, I think, you know, blew the roof off of, SoFi Stadium out in Los Angeles in terms of what this kid could do as a rookie. But he has had experience in both systems. I think Gase would be a better fit because I think he's a little more of what Josh was. And I don't see Anthony Lynn being quite the fit here that maybe I would like him to be, having covered him before, having him come in and be a new voice here. But Gase could be interesting. And then, of course, you mentioned Ivan Fears. And that's Murph and I talked a little bit about Ivan yesterday and being so well-respected and so beloved in that locker room and the job that he's done with coaching guys like Damian Harris and Sony Michel, especially the last year, could spell well for him. But, you know, bottom line, buddy, until the decision is made, which, again, folks, has not been made at the time we're recording this podcast, but until that time, this is all speculation. Again, not exactly Patriot-like to play hypotheticals in January, is it, my friend? In Foxborough, we're preparing for games this time of year. We don't want to talk hypotheticals. We want to talk about
I'm sorry to interrupt. One other guy that could be in the mix, and I don't know if he burned his bridges when he left, would be Chad O'Shea, who spent many years here. I think he was here for about 10 years as the wide receivers coach, and then he left with Brian Flores to be Miami's offensive coordinator last year. This year, he was the Cleveland Browns wide receivers coach and passing game coordinator. So if Bill wanted to go back to a guy that he's very familiar with, obviously knows the system quite well, I just don't know if a guy like O'Shea, when he left with Flores, burned his bridges with Bill. But it's something to keep an eye on.
That's an interesting question, and I'm glad that you brought up O'Shea, because a lot of people have been saying he looks like a logical fit. I agree with you. To me, he probably is the most logical fit for someone that would be able to come in. In fact, I know he's a name that Patriots fans were hoping that they would retain a couple of years ago when Brian Flores left, and not the, one of the guys that he would take with him. Ultimately, O'Shea did go with him to Miami. I haven't been able to hear a whole lot from, you know, through the grapevine, so to speak, when it comes to that, whether or not there is any type of ill will between the Patriots organization and O'Shea, would they welcome him back? It really is a question that I think will be answered within the coming days and weeks now, if Josh is indeed on his way to Philadelphia. If he doesn't come back, then you have to think there is something there, because in terms of continuity, we sang the praises of Adam Gase. I think Chad O'Shea would be a lot more continual when it comes to trying to keep that McDaniel system in place. And, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned him, because that's a name that I don't know if it's bandied about as much as it should, but in the coming days and weeks, I think it will be, and we'll learn a lot more about that, I'm sure. But, Steve, Bill Belichick and the Patriots organization will need to continue to make plans, whether Josh McDaniels is in-house or not. And they're certainly making preparations when it comes to the 2021 season. And while free agency can be fun, the Patriots do have their eyes squarely on the draft as well. And things will be a lot different this year when it comes to draft scouting and preparation for all 32 NFL teams, but particularly the New England Patriots. What do I mean by that? We'll find out when Steve Balestrieri and I continue our discussion when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues.
Locked On listeners, when it comes to repairing or maintaining your vehicle, why would you spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? It's still possible to take pride in your ride and even save a little in the process. Visit my good friends at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, and they're delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, the specifications, and here's the best part, folks, the prices you prefer. RockAuto.com's prices are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers just like you and me. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure to put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Locked On listeners, for some NFL teams, the games may be over, but the work is just beginning. Join Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Salek of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast every Tuesday as they start their Team Takeover Tuesday offseason series. Each week, they pick a new team, take a deep dive into potential front office and head coach signings, a roster review, free agent strategies, and go through a team-centric mock draft. That's every Tuesday over at Locked On NFL Draft. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Pats fan Steve Balestrieri joins us here today on the pod. And Steve, the Patriots are on to the business of 2021. And as I said in the previous segment, free agency can be fun. Trade talk can be fun too. But the Patriots have a bit more time on their hands to prepare for what I like to call, and folks, I don't believe this, but I like to name this because it's really become the norm when it comes to Patriots fandom. I like to call it Belichickian kryptonite. And if you listen to the Snark Squads on 2 to 6 p.m. terrestrial radio, you'll know that I'm referring to the NFL draft. Bill can't draft. That's pretty much what you hear for about 4 hours. The Patriots have 7 picks in this draft, officially. More are going to be added when it comes to compensatory picks. Could end up having anywhere up to 10. And in previous years, you could make the argument, Steve, we've both made the argument, that the Patriots, especially Bill Belichick, were at kind of a disadvantage when it came to draft scouting. They played late into January, early February, pretty much every year. And it kind of put them at a little bit of a disadvantage to prep for the draft early on. This year, they'll have more scouting time, so that excuse is not going to fold. But that doesn't mean that all the problems are going to be solved. And yesterday, NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported that the NFL scouting combine was going to be much different this year. No in-person workouts. They're going to hold pro days on campuses instead. All virtual interviews, psychological testing is going to be limited in person. Medical exams are likely going to take place in April. And Steve, this is actually pretty significant for teams like the Patriots that are all about getting your hands in the dirt to scout. They love the pro days, but the combine is something that they do expend, you know, a lot of capital being able to be there and trying to get evaluations out. They do love their pro days, and I think it may lessen that a little bit, but this is going to be something, especially this year with all of the lead time, that could end up hurting them. But something else that the Patriots have to deal with this year that is unique to them is the absence of one of their top draft minds, and that's Nick Caserio. He really spearheaded the Patriots draft teams every season. Bill Belichick's given him a lot of credit for that. Nick was intricately involved in scouting, evaluation, strategy, negotiations. You name it, he had his hand in it when it came to the draft. And for all the eye-rolling crowd about Caserio leaving and how, quote-unquote, it doesn't matter, you know, the Patriots are definitely going to miss Nick there, and I can tell you that they will. Steve, how much of an impact do you think either one of these, or maybe even both, will have on the Patriots' draft strategy this season?
Oh, I think Caserio leaving is a tremendous loss. And anyone who doubts that, I mean, just keep looking at what Bill Belichick said about that. I mean, he doesn't give out praise unnecessarily. And, you know, this is, you know, I think it's a really, really big loss. I mean, you know, they knew they were in a position they could lose Caserio. And, but, you know, I think it's, you know, one of those, for lack of a better term, brain drain, you know, from the head shed up there. And, you know, for all the talk that, you know, Bill's coaching tree and all this is terrible. Every year his people get, you know, poached. And, you know, when you're looking at the draft, especially, you know, it's going to be a big loss. I think, you know, Dave Ziegler, you know, he's like the guy that was in line for this. But, I mean, he was being interviewed himself for the Broncos GM job. So, you know, it's when you're looking at this NFL draft, I think Caserio was like the main guy because Bill was so involved with playoffs and, you know, looking at opponents coming up, and Caserio had pretty much carte blanche to run that scouting department as well as he did. And let's face it, the Patriots scouts have always done a good job because all this Bill can't draft talk, I think, is a lot of hooey. Because you look at where they're picking every year, you know, they're always down at 30, 31, 32. If they even have a first-round pick, you know, it's a lot harder to pick the blue-chip guys when you're down at that end instead of picking in the top five. But I think, you know, when you're looking at Caserio, it's going to be a big loss for them, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, when you lose someone that is as intricately involved in all of the aspects that I lifted earlier, and you know, mentioned this as well, it's going to affect your status. It's going to affect how you're able to strategize. It's going to affect the way that you're able to scout players, bring players in. And even, you know, something like negotiations can be very complex, very difficult to replicate. Dave Ziegler, I think, does have a lot of pedigree, and that may be one of the big reasons why Denver was so interested in him as a potential GM candidate. But at the same time, you also look at the level at which Nick Caserio did this for years and years up here in New England since, you know, Scott Pioli, departed and vacated that role. And we're actually going to mention Scott again, believe it or not, on this podcast one more time before we're through. But I won't get too far ahead of ourselves here, folks. But I agree with you on Nick, and that could end up being a difficulty that the Patriots have to overcome. We'll see if their draft team is able to do that. Staying on this subject for just a minute, Bud, and we're going to begin the process of draft evaluation very soon here on Locked On Patriots, especially mock drafts, players, positions that the Patriots might prioritize and covet. We'll also be doing once again, folks, this year, submitting your mock drafts, and we'll be reevaluating them on Mock Draft Monday and giving you grades and things like that, making the draft a much more interactive process this year on Locked On Patriots. But Steve, as you take your first looks at the Patriots' potential draft boards, I'm not putting you on the spot and asking you who they're taking at 15 or anything of that nature, but what do you see this team prioritizing when it comes to positions? What are those positions? And do you have anybody right now in mind that could be that potential perfect Patriot, or that potential ideal Patriot, I guess is the best way to put it, heading into 2021?
Yeah, you know, when you look at things, obviously, they have a lot of needs, and you know, you're looking at how the big board plays out in the first 15 picks, first 14 picks before they select. I mean, I kind of have the feeling that, you know, we all are drooling over guys like Jalen Waddle and, you know, Devontae Smith and you know, some of these quarterbacks. Trey Lance has been a guy that's been frequently mentioned to the Patriots. You know, I just have doubts that any of those guys, including Pitts from Florida, who I think is going to be a generational type of tight end, I just have the feeling that all of those guys are going to be gone by the time they pick. I have the feeling they're going to go defense heavy in the draft. I think offensively, they're going to try to fill a lot of these holes through you know, free agency. So when I'm looking at the draft, I'm tending to think they're going to go defense. And I know that's not a popular thing because everyone wants Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith or Trey Lance or even Mac Jones, who I think they might be able to get in the second round. But I just have the feeling it's going to be a defensive player.
I do as well. And you know what? And Murph actually agrees as well. We've talked about this in the past that that the Patriots would go defensive heavy, that it might be a defensive tackle, someone to anchor the middle part of that defense. It could also be someone like an edge rusher, someone who can get after the quarterback and play solid play on the front seven. You know, there are a few players that I have my eyes on, and I'm not going to tip my hand too much right now, but I agree with you. I think that that's probably the best capital for them to be able to invest, because a lot of the major offensive impact players will be off the board by the time the Patriots pick at 15. And at that point, I think you're better off getting young talent into the defense and maybe utilizing the free agent and trade markets to bring in some offensive weapons, especially if you're going to have a new offensive coordinator. It'd be smart to have some veterans on that staff that know how to run routes, know how to play, have had experience in either this system or similar systems to be able to move forward. So, Steve, we'll continue to look at that, and we'll continue to see if we're correct in our assessment. But a lot of draft coverage coming your way on Locked On Patriots very soon. And, Steve, to close it all out today, to stay on defense for a second, I opened up the pod today by saying that the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters are going to get together to decide the fate of this year's finalists. And that group includes former Patriots defensive tackle Richard Seymour. And for the third straight year, he's a finalist. His resume speaks for itself. He's got a ton of support from his peers, former teammates, including Tom Brady. I read Tom's statement to open the show today. That statement of support was excellent. Also, Scott Pioli, again, we mentioned him, really great piece of support for Richard published last night. Steve, Seymour has already earned his red jacket in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I think I know the answer to this question, but I won't step on your toes. Should he get a gold jacket? And do you believe this will be the year it happens for him?
Should he get a gold jacket? Seymour is absolutely worthy of that. I firmly believe that he was a dominant player in those early Patriots Super Bowl teams. He was a dominant player for most of that entire decade. And, you know, you look at what the Patriots wanted to do defensively, it all centered around, you know, he was kind of like that anchor guy. And I thought, you know, he was extremely, extremely valuable to that team defensively. And, you know, do I think he's going to get it? Unfortunately, no, I don't, because too many of the voters are hung up on, you know, what I call the mindset of fantasy football. Well, what are his stats? How many sacks did he get? His value went way beyond that. And even though he's a finalist every year, I'd be surprised if he gets in. And that nothing, I'm not saying that as if to say he's not worthy. He's extremely worthy. You look at those Super Bowl teams, and he was absolutely dominant in the middle of the field. He was on, I believe, the NFL All-Decade team for the 2000s. So I just don't have the feeling that they're going to award him his gold jacket this year. I really don't. And it's a shame because I think he's extremely worthy.
Yeah, it's a true shame. You know, I have a little bit more of an optimistic look. I'm thinking that he might have a shot this year, but in a lot of ways, I hear your argument and I say, yeah, Steve's making a lot of sense right now. It is a lot of it is about, you know, stats driven and things of this nature. And look, no one is downplaying the importance of statistics. No one is. But at the same time, you use your eyes, use your common sense. To me, the definition of a Hall of Famer, and I don't care. I mean, you can plug in any one of the major professional sports, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey or any of the sports that have Hall of Fames, where you look at players, were they among or at the top of the most dominant players at their position for any period of time at the time in which they played? And if you ask around the league at players that teams that played against the New England Patriots or his teammates, obviously with New England, can tell you better than anybody because they've played with him and against him in practice, Richard Seymour is always at the top of that list. He always gets effusive praise from so many people for the job that he did and the fear that he put in the hearts of a lot of other you know, teams that played against him. To me, that's the mark of a Hall of Famer. And, you know, I for one, always hoped that Richard would be able to get in, that Richard would be able to enjoy that type of success because I think he deserves it without question. And hopefully, you know, maybe the Hall of Fame voters will, you know, give him his shot this year. Wouldn't it be ironic that Richard earned his gold jacket and his red jacket within the same, you know, period of time, not quite the same calendar year, but within the same time period. And it would be truly a great honor for him. But we live in hope. And bottom line, he is a Patriots Hall of Famer. He will receive his red jacket. And in the hearts and minds of Patriots Nation, he should be an NFL or a Pro Football Hall of Famer as well. Steve, what can I say? I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule each and every Tuesday here on Locked On Patriots. Before I let you go, buddy, please let everyone, all of our new listeners, all of our established listeners know you, and they love you as much as I do, I assure you. But please let our new listeners know where they can find you and what you have coming ahead from the great pen of Steve Balestrieri.
Well, thanks as always, Mike. I always enjoy my weekly spot here on Locked On. And I'm very appreciative of that fact. So you can find me on Twitter, at SteveB7SFG. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, although I don't do any of the other apps that are out there. I'm going to – I write for PatsFans.com, and I'm going to be looking – I'm still diving into free agency and some of the holes that the Patriots can fill with some of the guys that are out there. And I'll be writing about that some more in the coming days. And after that, we'll start diving into our draft prep because this year, like you mentioned earlier in the show, it's going to be much different of the way all the teams, not just New England, are approaching this upcoming draft because I'm going to miss out on the combine. I'm not going to sit here and make it. I mean, I love the combine, especially when Mike Mayock was doing the broadcast. I know he didn't do it last year and the guys did a great job, but I really miss his evaluations of those players, because I took a lot of what he said to heart, because he was usually right on with that stuff. So I'm going to miss that this year, but the draft goes on, the beat goes on, and we just continue to do our best.
Absolutely. As Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. That's what we're going to have to do this year, covering virtually. And you know what? It's the way of the world, but it's just the way it is. I will miss a lot of the updates and the in-person nature of the way the combine shakes out. But such is the times in which we live, and we'll do our best to be able to bring you the best coverage possible. And thank you for being a part of that here on Locked On Patriots, my friend. Stay safe, stay well. We look forward to talking to you again next week, and we'll continue to keep you updated, all folks, on the latest news, notes, and analysis from Foxborough. Thanks again, Steve. Have a great week, buddy.
Oh, thank you for having me, and you do a tremendous job here on Locked On, and I'm going to quote somebody else, Matthew McConaughey from The Gentleman. When you want to be the lion in the jungle, you just can't look like the lion. You have to be the lion, and that's you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. That is extremely high praise from a very good movie and a pretty good actor as well. I do appreciate that. And thank you so much. That really does mean a lot to me, buddy. I assure you. Again, have a great week, and we'll do it all again next week.
All right, buddy.
And just like that, Pats fans, we are nearly halfway through your work week. And in addition to taking a look ahead at your 2021 New England Patriots, we will continue to monitor and bring you the latest news from Foxborough. So to be sure that you do not miss a single second of the action, download and subscribe to the Locked On Patriots podcast on platforms such as Spotify, Radio.com, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure that you're staying locked in to Locked On Patriots. Once again, my name is Mike DeBate. I thank Steve Balestrieri for his time, his insight, and his appearance on today's pod. But most of all, I thank you so much for listening and for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until tomorrow, Patriots Nation, stay safe, stay well, continue to be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.